In many ways, our lives are defined by those things that stay constant and steady in our lives, held alongside those things that change and those things that may not be around for very long. For many of us, I think the biggest parts of our lives don't change that much. I know for some of you, you've lived here in the same town your entire life. Your family may have always been nearby. In fact, I would imagine some of you have shopped at the same grocery store for decades, right? But in other ways, your life has changed. In some hard ways, perhaps. People that you love may no longer be around. Maybe you switched careers at some point. Maybe you moved into a new home recently. As I was thinking about this, I counted up all the places I've lived in my life. 46 years, to the best of my recollection, I've lived in 14 different homes. And that includes 8 different states. You ready? Kentucky, Colorado, Kansas, New York, Missouri, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Michigan. And I've lived in some of those states more than once on different homes in those states. That's a lot of moving trucks, a lot of cardboard boxes. But on the other hand, through all of those changes, some things even in my life have been constant. My family, of course, has been there through it all. My parents and brother throughout my whole life. Now my wife and kids have been with me for 21 years we've been married. And of course, the biggest thing is my relationship with Jesus has not changed. Ever since I can remember as a little child, I have known Jesus. I've known my Savior. Through all those changes, all those moves, Jesus has always been there with me. Life's biggest change happens right at the end for all of us. When we die, all that has been constant in our life, all that has been unchanging, suddenly goes away. And we move on to a new type of life. We move on to a new place. And none of what we have held on to in this life can go with us. Except, of course, what matters most in this life, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that never, never changes. Near the end of Paul's life, he looked into the mirror at his own mortality. And he knew that his life would soon end. And he also knew that something that was even better was coming next for him. And he was thinking about those things when he wrote his letter to his friends in Philippi. Paul was torn between this life and the life to come. He was torn between the people that he loved here and the purpose that God had given him in this life. And the glorious promise of heaven that was waiting for him. And so he wrote about that struggle. And I think his words can help us to better understand life and death from this perspective of our faith in Jesus Christ. So listen to what Paul wrote. This is Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Do you ever think about these sorts of things? Do you ever think about your own mortality? Do you think about what's coming next? Do you think about having to let go of all the things in this life? That's part of the deal. Do you think about heaven? Do you think about what it will be like to be in God's glorious presence? I've said this before. I think it's good for us to dream, to wonder about what it's going to be like. And we wonder because it's going to be wonderful. It is going to be glorious. It is going to be far better, as Paul writes, when we get to go and see God face to face, when we get to meet Jesus, to be surrounded by the heavenly host of angels, to join with the choir of believers from all over the world and all through generations to worship God forever in His glorious presence. We should think about those things because it will be wonderful. It will be better than this life. And we should rejoice in those thoughts. We should find great comfort in those promises about what waits for us after this life. But at the same time, we need to remember that God has put us in this life for a purpose. And that gets to the tension that Paul is writing about in this passage. We have work to do here. We have things to accomplish. We have people to love. We have the good news of Jesus Christ to share with others. Those are the reasons that God placed us in this world and why He keeps us in this life. And so we're supposed to live in this tension, with that feeling, as Paul writes, of being torn between the two. And that's a good feeling to have. It's not something to hide from or to be afraid of. What Paul wrote about here tells us that it's okay to long for a better life, even as we try to make this life better, even as we live this life to the best of our ability. So we begin with the here and now, and that is that in this life we live to exalt Christ, and that's what Paul says here. We live to exalt Christ. In fact, he says, it's sort of a prayer that he's lifting up, that he says he desires to have the courage that he needs so that Christ will be exalted in this life, in all that he's able to do in this life. Bringing glory to God, lifting up the name of Jesus is the highest calling of our lives. It's why God created us. So that you could know Him, so that you could love Him, so that you could worship Him. And we don't have to wait until we get to heaven. We get to live right now, every day, in all that we do, exalting the name of Jesus. That is why we are here. One of the ways that we do that, of course, is what we're doing today. We worship Him. And we gather here every Sunday morning. We worship, we exalt Jesus. And that's important, but it's not the only time that you can exalt Jesus. In your private devotions and our corporate worship, we lift up the name of Jesus. But then we can also exalt Him in our obedience. And I know that's a big word that maybe makes us a little uncomfortable. You're supposed to be obedient, so am I. Obedient to God's Word. Obedient to the teaching of Jesus. Jesus told us to love our neighbors. We're supposed to obey that. Jesus told us to offer compassion on people in need. We're supposed to obey that. It's one of the ways that we exalt Jesus. We're also able to exalt Jesus when we keep our marriage vows. When we tell the truth, even when it's hard. And sometimes it is hard to tell people truths that they may not want to hear, but when we do that, we honor Jesus by speaking His truth. We can also exalt Him by being the wise stewards of the resources He's given us. God entrusts us with the things of this life, and we're supposed to care for them. We exalt Jesus in that way. By everything that we do, even the littlest of things in our lives. If we do them in the name of Jesus, then we lift up His name for God to be pleased, but also for the world around us to see that we are living in ways that are different than the world. And we do it not to make ourselves look good, but we do it to make Jesus look good, to exalt Him. Now, this also includes sharing his love and message with others. It also includes telling people about Jesus. We know Paul, of course, was a great missionary. He was an evangelist. He had this amazing gift of going into a town that where he didn't know anybody and gathering people around him and sharing the good news with them and inviting them to follow Jesus. And we, in our own way, can do the same thing. And you may not think you have the gift of evangelism, but all of us, as we join together in the church, as we join together with all the gifts that God has given us, we share the good news of Jesus. And we exalt him in those ways. We lift up his name. Because that's what this life is about. Paul says that his life is about fruitful labor. About doing something that matters in this life. So we live with a purpose, and that purpose is to exalt Jesus Christ in all the things that we do. So this life has meaning, but then we also are called, and again we get to this tension, this being torn between the two. We're also called to think about the life to come. And so here we declare that when we die, we will gain life eternal with Christ. And that's the promise of our faith, right? It's the hope that we have. Paul says to die is gain. In fact, he even believed that to die and to go and be with Christ is better by far. And I would imagine that most people alive today wouldn't agree with that. Most people today fear death. And we fight against it. And people try to put it off for as long as we possibly can because people believe there can't possibly be anything good that happens when we die. Paul says that death is better by far. Do we believe that? You see, followers of Jesus look at life and death differently than the world does. Death is not the end. Death is not some defeat or a final darkness in which we will fall and no longer exist there for eternity. No, for us, death is a passageway into life, into real, true, everlasting life. It is a passageway into life that is better by far. That is the promise that God has made us. It's the promise that Jesus has made us, that he's preparing a place for us, and that place that he's preparing for us is going to be better than the things that we have in this life. And so we don't fear death. We don't live with this anxiety or worried thoughts, what's going to happen when I die? We know what's going to happen when we die. We know that when this life ends, we will go into God's glorious presence. We will be welcomed there by the embrace of Jesus. We will join believers from all throughout history there before the throne of God, and we will get to enjoy eternity in his presence, and it will be better by far. And I hope that you understand that and you can hold on to that great promise because it is the promise of our faith. And it is what we're supposed to look forward to. And we don't need to be ashamed to cling to that hope, even as we live this life, to exalt Jesus and to be fruitful and to have purpose here in this life. And so we're able to come to this conclusion based on what Paul has written here, inspired by the Spirit, the truth of God's Word that we're reading today, we come to this conclusion that in this life and in the next, our calling, our purpose is the same. It doesn't change. We are called to honor Christ and to love one another. That is why God created us, and that purpose in our lives isn't going to change even when this life comes to an end. This is what Paul means as he's writing to his friends in Philippi. And of course, we remember Paul at this point is under house arrest in Rome, and he's awaiting trial, and that trial will eventually result in his death. And he knows that's very likely the outcome, and he knows that his life is probably coming to an end. And yet he says to them, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. And if you ever feel that way, it's okay. That's a good thing to hope for. I desire to depart and be with Christ. It's better by far, Paul says. But it is more necessary, he writes, for me or for you that I remain in the body. In other words, as long as God has work for me to do here, as long as God has people for me to love and people to share the good news with, then I have a reason to stay here. And so that's where we are in this life as well. Torn between the two, and that's okay. The truth is we get to experience both. We might feel torn, but God is going to allow both to come true in our lives. That we can live this life with purpose and meaning and be fruitful, and we can love the people around us and tell them about Jesus and worship God here and now and do all the things that God has invited us to do and live obedient lives that honor Jesus Christ. We get to do all of that right now, and then we also will get to go to heaven, and we won't miss out on any of that. And for all eternity, and eternity is going to feel just as long if we live another 100 years here, it's going to feel just as long when we get there. It's going to be just as wonderful when we do get there, whether it's tomorrow or 50 years from now. It's going to be eternity either way. And so we get to experience the best of both. To live a life that is meaningful and fruitful. And to go and be with God forever in heaven. The truth of our faith, if we can understand what Paul is saying here, this idea of being torn between the two, the truth is that eternal life starts right now. We are already living a life that will never end because we have found that new life in Jesus Christ. Everyone who has come to Jesus in faith has found everlasting life. Your soul is already fixed and found in the firm grip of Jesus. And nothing can ever take that away. You live forever because Jesus died and rose again. And so through the eyes of faith, this life and the next are the same. We have the same purpose, the same calling. We worship the same God. It's one everlasting life of exalting Jesus and loving the people around us, which we will do in this life as well as in the next. And so let me encourage you to live every day torn between the two in a good way. Understanding that on the one hand, we can invite God, we can ask God to help us make the most of this life. To live this life to the full, to be fruitful, to love people well, to share the good news of Jesus, to show compassion, to love our family and our friends and our neighbors, and to do all the things that Jesus has asked us to do, and to enjoy this life because it is meaningful when we live it in the name of Jesus. And also, at the same time, to long for the joy and the glory of heaven. To cling to that hope, that promise that Jesus has made us, that he's preparing a better place for us, a place that will be better by far. And if we can do both at the same time, if we can live in that tension of being torn between this life and the life to come, if we can exalt Christ, and if we can hope for the life of glory in heaven, then we can truly experience eternal life here and now, and we will experience it forever as well. So that's the good news that God has for us today. That's the wonderful promise that we have because of who Jesus is. So let's give thanks to him. Let me invite you to bow your heads. Lord, we do give you thanks today. We give you thanks for the promise that Jesus has made us, that this life is important because we can serve you and follow Jesus and share your love and make a difference in this world. And those things matter. But Lord, we also give you thanks that we have a wonderful promise of eternity, that one day we'll get to go and be with you and it will be so much better than this life. And so, Lord, we look forward to that wonderful entrance into your glory in heaven. And I pray that you would help each one of us to live fruitful lives and to rejoice in the promise that you've given us. And Lord, we pray that others would come to find this good news as well, that they would also find the purpose of this life in Jesus and find also the hope of the life to come. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.